All right, bitches.
Are you talking to us?
Okay, so I thought about that before. And I was like, I'm going to say okay, bitches. And then I was like, wait, is that to them or to everyone else? And I decided it's a collective.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. We're all in this together.
We're all the bitches.
What happened to welcome the fuck back to Jess's time machine?
I wanted to change it out.
Oh, every time?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
What happened to JT? Mm.
Yeah.
No, we have to savor it. So every time it comes back, it actually feels like a mmm.
No, I think we should hold Cody accountable and say, yeah, you come up with a new one every fucking time, dude. Then.
Fine, cool. I'm down. It makes it funny. It's better than saying, like, hello.
I do like the idea of the listeners thinking that before we start recording, we all agree on how we're going to start the episode, and then Cody goes completely rogue every time.
Yeah.
Just does something, just whatever you want.
We've never agreed on it, and then, like, I always feel like it's like a split second too long of none of us saying something that my brain instantly is like, say something, and it's just going to be whatever, so...
Yeah. What about like hey party people?
That sounds too much like Carol Baskin.
No, that's what's up all you cool cats and kittens.
Yeah, that's like right, I don't know, that's in the same ballpark for me.
I do agree. It's okay. But it might be more palatable than the intro that we have.
what about if we did the opposite and like what's up all you lame dogs and puppies?
We could try it.
I like that.
You're gonna have to save it now because like now everyone's heard it and you have to like bank it and like bust it out somewhere else.
Well, that's why it's a fucking full-time job for you now, Cody. Like every week on one of your 10-minute breaks, you're gonna have to go out back and jot down some super cool intro.
Okay.
And stick to it.
Sweet. Okay, so they are cool. We're agreeing that they're cool. Okay, cool.
Yeah, bitch.
Yeah, bitch. All right. Well, what are we talking about?
Party. Yeah, let's party.
I was thinking about you know what rubs me the wrong way.
Who rubs you the wrong way?
There's a lot of people.
Which ex-girlfriend are we talking about?
Well, that's for a separate podcast.
Her name's CJ.
Oh baby, I rub right, you know that.
That's true. Oh, that's so true. So my annoyance this week, I thought about it and I wondered if there was going to be a difference between East Coast and West Coast on this particular subject. Fuck so yeah. My annoyance this week is infomercials.
Okay.
And
what about them?
Specifically, how drab and horribly depressing they are. Mm-hmm. And but how they're also targeting, you know, weak and fallible people that are going to be easily sort of persuaded to buy whatever it is that they're selling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the one that came to mind, and this is where I was wondering if it was also on the West Coast. There's an infomercial, or maybe it's just even sort of commercial that's just really bad, but it's for a piece of gym equipment that looks like it went out of circulation in 1985. Like it's like you see commercials for like Mirror and all these like fancy new gym pieces that you can have in your home.
Yeah. Does it get the ghosts out of your blood?
it's basically just it's the most archaic piece of gym equipment I've ever, you know, my dad had this in his garage back in the UK like over a decade ago.
What is it?
And it's just like a standard kind of like rowing type machine piece that you can then take that bit off and do sit-ups on it.
It's the fucking thing that what's his face always advertised, Chuck Norris always was doing.
It's
the Chuck Norris machine.
Oh, is it the rocking ab thing?
You can fold it in a way.
You can do that, yeah.
Yeah, but the funniest thing about this particular commercial is, so it started out with one catchy, that's giving it too much credit, but it started out with like a jingle, and it was Be a Hero. So that was like, the jingle was like, Be a Hero.
That bar is way too high.
And then I don't know if they changed it because of, in 2020, there were actual heroes like putting themselves on the front lines and emergency workers and everything. But they changed it to then Be the New You, but they kept the exact same piece of music, and they just, now it's like Be the New You, and it's honestly awful. So, and that's where my train of thought went.
Yeah. So Cody, what direction do you want to take this in? Because I have a couple I'm thinking of.
Okay. So I'll do one statement for now, and I'll let you take the reins on it. Okay. I think it sounds like East Coast and West Coast have very different infomercials, but I think they all suck. But being someone who personally hasn't had cable for the last 10 years, like I just use streaming services. Like I don't even know the last time I saw one, but I do remember them late at night. And I had that same thought as you are, like, these things are evil. Like they prey on weak, old, lonely people. And I'm feeling that way personally now with like Instagram ads, because I am buying things left and right off Instagram ads that I'm like, these things are for me. And I think I bought like 3 things from Instagram ads now. I'm 50-50 on quality, but that was my initial thought. I don't know what you were to say, CJ.
Well, I'm speechless now. I didn't know.
I think I'm turning into like...
I didn't know somebody so close to me could be so fucking stupid.
I feel like I'm turning into like George Costanza's parents, where I'm just like sitting at home alone, like buying things that pop up on ads. I'm like, oh, just right. For me.
Like, it just changes a lot of things. I just want to let you know.
Okay.
I'm glad we didn't hang out today.
Okay. CJ, all right, you did the speech at Cody's wedding, right?
I did. It was a bad one, though, so I think we're even now.
Okay, cool. Fine. I'm not even mad about the speech at my wedding, but okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, I loved it. I think it was one of the best times of my life, and I'm glad I was, I'm glad you allowed me the chance to share it with you.
Your speech was heartfelt and honest. It wasn't bad.
Thank you very much. Anyways,
just like the Instagram ads.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like the Instagram ads.
So here's what I'm thinking. Like, I feel like advertisements in general are very very dumb. And I feel like they take advantage of like Cody said, like your biggest fears. Like your biggest fears are like, you know, dying alone or being sick or not having the right product or being out of shape. And those are people's, like, you know, they're sensitive about that. But also, they don't do a good job conveying messages. They're not original. They usually, you know, use the same stock footage, or they play the same videos, or they do the same things over and over again. So it's like, listen, or even those ads where it's like, hey, pick which ad you want to listen to. I don't pick any of them just out of like defiance of not giving them. I don't want to give them anything for their algorithm. So fuck you. I'd rather watch 5 minutes and not give you any information than watch 1 minute with my information.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then, Hulu and does then that also, a lot, where it's like, choose your poison. It's like, but either way, I die.
Like, yeah, exactly. I don't want any poison.
no poison for me, please.
I get it. Pacifico exists. Fine. I'll drink it when I'm good and ready. I just think that like ads in general like are the same thing as like the lottery. It's like a tax on dumb people. And like hi Cody, how's it going? And you either fall for it or you don't. Like, I mean, if you're dumb enough to not see through the veil that they're doing this to use you, then almost at the same time you kind of deserve to pay the tax.
Yeah. I never, until you said that, Cody, but Instagram ads, it truly is the modern day infomercial.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
And I wouldn't have thought about that in the context, unless you had said how susceptible you are as an individual.
Okay, I gotta say, like, I have, okay, so I've got, like, there's two comparisons. Like, I bought one thing a while ago that was supposed to help with, like, snoring, because I torture Brenda every night with, like, my... And CJ knows how I snore.
Oh yeah, I can vouch for this. This guy saws logs like the best lumberjack in the business.
It's like a bag of dying lumberjacks. But Like, I literally, like, my roommate at a work event once, like, switched rooms. And I was like, oh, shit. But, so I bought, like, a story thing. It was total shit. It didn't work. Like, I hated it. It was literally just a junk piece of plastic. But then I got this other thing. It was, like, a different kind of beard oil. And it actually works really nice. I think a lot of it, like, the caveat to the Instagram one versus the old days is, yeah, it's convenient as hell on Instagram now, but like it's a lot easier to do your research, like, and actually follow the trail back and like go to their Instagram and then go look at like their other shit. Like, back in, like, if you're an 80-year-old woman at freaking middle of the night watching an infomercial on TV, you're on your own.
Like, yeah, that's a good point. I'm glad that you specified that it was, you know, like a snoring product and then a beard oil. Obviously, you know, you have a beard. I was imagining like you were sat there thinking, these J. Crew khakis just for me?
I almost bought stretchy skinny khakis once. I was like, those look comfortable as shit. And then I almost got sucked into like one of those like retractable hoses. And I was like, I need that. I don't have a yard, but it sounded really cool.
I need to take this opportunity to devalue myself too, because I feel like I was a little too hard on Cody for the prices ending in 99, I will always fucking be a sucker for. If they give me like if there's a little bit of a discount, like, that's when my inner lizard comes out and I'm like, oh fuck. Like 10% off, you're shitting me, bro.
Right?
Like, I gotta get them now.
Kind of amazing how consumerism works in that way.
Yeah.
Because we are, like, you're right, CJ, we are all susceptible to it. Like, right. If I see things enough, the first time I'll pretend I'm like cool as shit, hard as stone, don't need it, ignore it. If I see that same ad roll around the third or the fourth time.
Right? You're just like, ooh.
I turn into the guy at the end of the night that's had a few too many beers and he's now looking across the bar thinking, she don't look so bad.
She looks so bad. I see you.
You know what? I really do need a pull-up bar that attaches to the frame of my door.
Oh, yeah. Right. Now I do have one of those.
I'll get fucking ripped. Right.
Summer's a few months away.
Yeah, I got time. By the next quarantine, I'll be jacked.
By the next quarantine.
You do those mental gymnastics where it's like, okay, I got 6 months to train.
Thank you for saying train, because it definitely makes it sound like more of a, like, I'm like, in my head, it's a Rocky montage. And I'm like, I totally have the time and the aptitude for this. Like,
yeah. I'm going to tell you both now. I'm glad that they pushed the Olympics back by a year.
Right?
It gave me a shot.
Right? It gives us all a shot to join the National Curling League.
Right.
Which is probably about the only sport we would qualify for.
Yeah.
The curling league.
Yes.
I would do bobsled without a sled. Just throw me down that fucking thing.
but the catch without the sled is that you gotta hold an egg between your ass cheeks.
Oh, that's right. Cool running style.
Yeah.
I can imagine me and Cody stood at the top, just like arm and a wing in you, just straight down.
Yeah. Oh, he forgot his egg. Damn it.
Just give me a pint of Smirnoff and throw me down that motherfucker. I'll figure it out.
But back to like the initial. Yes, I think like I do think the classic infomercial is evil. I think it's evil. I think it's like they know exactly what they're doing. Shit, I mean, we know. Like, we go to work. You know, we've all done retail and we know how like our marketing gets people. It's fucking, it's sinister.
The whole industry is rooted in trickery.
Yeah.
Right.
So that, in a sense, Cody, you're absolutely right. It's from its core. It's
smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nothing's more annoying than that fucking slap chop guy. Like, they're just fucking obnoxious. Like,
but, I mean, the magic bullet's pretty cool though.
We all miss what's his face, the one infomercial. Who's the infomercial king? Who died?
Forget it.
No,
Jack LaLanne.
No, he was the guy who did the I can't remember his name. I'm gonna remember it later. I'll just yell it in the middle of the episode.
Perfect. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. You know who I'm talking about too. But yeah. Okay. All cool. Right. Let's take a quick break and then we'll get started. Before you say anything, his name was Billy Mays.
So, oh yeah,
the fucking OxyClean guy.
That's right.
Yeah,
he's dead now.
Oh, he died years ago.
Yeah,
I don't know who he was, but
oh, okay.
I was feigning some kind of concern.
No, you don't remember the old OxyClean commercials where basically he would just like throw little like feces on his shirt and he's like, "Watch it, get it out."
Okay, like, I think I may have seen.
And he had like a thick black beard, like.
Yeah, Mark, that's not a joke either. He threw poop at shirts.
his own.
Just at home, putting it in a box like, this is a good one.
Yeah, he's like, he's going straight to the studio.
You're a studio poop.
He puts a star on it, like, yes. You're a keeper.
Like a line of 20 diapers just in case a shoe went wrong.
Christ. Oh God. Okay. Speaking of poop, who are we talking about?
We are talking. So it's the mid-season melee. It's season 5 of episode 5. Oh. Wait, episode 5 of season 5.
Yeah, I got it.
You know what I'm talking about.
I was still stoked about the mid-season melee thing.
It's the mid-season melee. Yeah, I kind of devalued a little bit with my poor speech, but we're talking about Heinrich Himmler. Heinrich Himmler. And my name for him is Hind Bitch for the Fuhrer.
Hind Bitch?
Does that make sense? Does that check out?
I mean, you can all call him whatever you want. I think he's definitely a bitch.
A bitch. He's a big dumb bitch. Okay, so let's start off with just a few facts about him. He never saw any action. He studied fucking agriculture.
Sexually or like war?
Any war, actually.
Oh, okay.
Oh, like even like sex?
Yeah.
I don't have his history on. Hold on. Let me go back into Wikipedia. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything.
Okay. A big fat zero. Okay.
Doesn't say anything.
What's his body count?
Yeah. What's his bow? His body count's really big.
Oh, yeah. That's a poor choice of words.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to shut up now.
Yeah. All right. His biggest claim to fame that he was good at organizing. And that's why Hitler liked him so much. He was a good organizer.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. So he was born on October 7th, 1900. He was a Libra. 3 days later, after he was born, the Wright brothers crashed their first experimental plane. So fun little time in history.
Okay.
Yeah.
So probably because like they finally felt the ripple of his birth and then fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Like he was born, plane crash, and it all goes downhill from there. So this boy, Heinrich, he went to school where his dad was the assistant principal. So, I mean, case
he's
closed,
that kid.
Right?
He's that
like,
kid.
Do we need to do this? Like,
just walk away now.
Yeah. Like, any kid that I met where they're like, their parent was a teacher or principal or anybody involved in the school district, they were always the worst kid.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I had, fifth grade class, a kid in my class, his mom was our teacher. I don't know how, like, why the kid was in his class, but I didn't know it at first, and he was always a shithead. And then one day I heard him say, "Mom," and I was like, "Ugh, you piece of shit."
I mean, I don't want to alienate those kids, but they're a certain breed, for sure.
Yeah. Like, they should be at a different school.
Yeah,
a separate school for kids whose parents are teachers.
No, I meant like a separate school other than their parent.
Oh, I thought you meant like at this school, the parents are the teachers, only the pupils.
That's homeschool. That's what homeschool is.
Yeah, that's called homeschool.
Oh, that's what homeschool is.
Mark's realizing he was homeschooled.
I just realized Mark was fucking with us the whole time. Okay, I just got that.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so anyways, he did pretty good in academics, but struggled with anything physical or sports related.
Oh, what a loser.
Right. So this fucking lepton, and I want to describe what a lepton is real quick, just so everybody gets it. It's a particle that only spins halfway and it's a weak reaction.
That's pretty fitting for the kid who is bad at sports.
Yeah. That's also the best, most intellectual insult I've ever heard.
Yeah. Like, which is really like funny to always is like, it's an insult that a nerd who's not good at sports would make. Yeah. About no, a nerd who's not good at sports.
It's an insult that he would get, and that's why I have to say it.
Oh, it's so funny. I mean, not to belittle people that aren't good at sports, like, but that's not why we're calling him a dork. It's just this guy is just a fucking dork.
Yeah.
It was the equivalent of that movie, The Other Guys, where like Mark Wahlberg learns ballet to make fun of kids that do ballet.
And then ends up loving it. Yeah.
So that's why I told the joke.
Loved it.
So he kept a diary since he was 10 that was, quote, a serious discussion of religion and sex.
Sex, okay.
So he was conflicted with being religious because he was a devout Roman Catholic from his family. And he was, you know, curious about sex being a sheltered little baby child.
Oh, because he was a devout Roman Catholic.
Yeah. Yeah. What 10-year-old is conflicted about his future sexual escapades? Like
this gentleman right here, I can tell you.
Yeah,
that.
I was pretty. I remember my parents bought me a lot of books because I asked questions they did not want to give the answers to.
Okay, I was too busy pretending to be a Power Ranger, so
it took me about 1,000 jerk offs before any came out. Basically.
Oh, God, there goes every girl who actually listens to us.
Yeah.
It's a growing process. All right. Why? He was also the middle child. So there you go again.
Okay.
He had a younger brother by 5 years and an older brother by 2 years. And his slightly older brother was a decorated war hero. He received an Iron Cross and a promotion to lieutenant during his time in the Polish-German War. It was like the end of 1918. Is when the Polish-German War ended.
Oh, 1918. Sorry. So around the time of the first
1918. Yeah, 1918 exactly. Is World War One. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it ended at 1918. The Polish-German War ended like it was like the end of maybe it was 1917, but 1918 is when the Polish-German War ended. Okay. But that's where his older brother, by 2 years, got his Iron Cross.
Mm.
And during this time, Heinrich Himmler was still training and literally complaining of stomach pains. And tiredness.
And tiredness. Okay, sleepy.
Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, I am fucking like, dude, I have IBS and I still show up to work on time. Like, you could fucking, like, you could try a little harder.
Yeah. No, he's a sleepy baby boy.
Yeah, he's here. Oh, boy.
This guy is like the most Milhouse of all the Milhouses.
Of all the Milhouses.
Perfect. Yes, he's got his flood pants on. So at this point, Germany had regulations that called for the unification of Germany. It was an 1871 act which tried to eliminate discrimination of non-Christians and those of the Jewish faith. But Himmler had maintained like an anti-Semitic point of view through his secondary school point of view. So when he was in college, that's where he kind of like got his anti-Semitism and he like really developed that. Even though he was like a really like sheltered, weird, Milhousey kid, his like really like anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic points of view came out in college. So it's almost like, you know, when kids go to college and learn how to be like, you know, more tolerant, he went the opposite way.
Yeah, or you know, like you go to college and learn how to like chug beer through your butt, and he's
Cody,
like,
it's called butt chugging.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So you perfect the art of butt chugging, and he's like in the corners like Jews,
shaking a fist.
even the captain of, he was on a fencing team, which he probably fucking sucked at,
or great at.
The captain of his fencing team was Jewish, but he was always like, he never talked to the captain of his fencing team. It's like, Benz did probably really poorly and then went away to his like special little fucking Nazi clubs. So at this point, he was like 22, and Himmler tried to join the military again in his second year of university. Oh, sorry, he was 19 at this point. Okay. In his second year of university, and he tried to join the military again, but failed a second time. And there, while he failed, he met this guy named Ernst Röhm, who was an early founder of a Nazi party. And the Nazi party, let me see if I read this right, it was called Eat a Bag of Dicks, I Refuse to Say Their Name.
Okay, cool.
Catchy.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm
good job on right. on the accent. Good job on the
accent. Yeah, that was very German.
Yes.
Thank you. It goes on to say, also, fuck Ernst Röhm, suck shit, you ass clown.
Mm. Yeah.
Particularly like the pronunciation of ass clown there. That was cool.
Is that clown with a K?
Clown with a C. Very good. Very good question, Cody. And this is straight from Wikipedia, guys. So I just hope I'm pronouncing that right. Anyways, so Himmler teamed up officially with the Nazi party when he was 23 years old, and he was involved in a paramilitary unit, which he did not see any action in again, because bullshit, this guy's jumping out of a fucking plane,
right? Like,
and he would still not see any action due to he still had a weak constitution, his stomach still hurt all the time. But he did in fact participate in the beer hall putsch, where Hitler led 2,000 Nazis into Munich in an attempted coup, where the Nazis were defeated by the local police, ending in 16 dead Nazis.
Mm.
And something sounds really, really nice about 16 dead Nazis. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Any dead Nazi is awesome. It just sounds good. It doesn't matter if it's one or 16. I find it always really weird that their first attempt, I mean, obviously, like, it was a coup, and then their second thing wasn't really so much as a coup, but it's just weird how, like, their first attempt to take over was, like, easily stopped by the local police, and then their second attempt just took over completely, and it's like, oh, wow, you guys really, like, fine-tuned it, like real fast.
Right. Yeah. I think at this point, Yeah, it's really confusing because it just like it's tugging at like everything about me, whether like I really like the fact that there's a dead Nazi or like I'm actually a human being at heart. But I think I just more prefer a dead Nazi.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I mean, I if I ever recorded and release an album, 16 Dead Nazis would be probably the preferred title.
Yeah, yeah. And each track would be one dead Nazi, two dead Nazi, three dead Nazi. Like,
it'd be like the 12 days of Christmas, but
exactly.
Improved.
But improved, yeah.
Here's my EP, three dead Nazis.
Three dead Nazis. Here's
my LP, 16 dead Nazis.
Yes.
Okay, so anyways, it was here where Hitler was arrested after the clash in Munich, the beer hall putsch. And Hitler was sentenced to 5 years in prison, and that's where he kind of not wrote but dictated Mein Kampf to other prisoners.
He didn't write it,
he dictated it and other people wrote it down.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah, so it was dictated but not written by Hitler.
Oh, I never knew that. That's fucking stupid.
He never did any of the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
So what, at the end does it say dictated but not read? Like
I'm pretty sure probably.
Like, I mean, what if
it's still all his bullshit ideas, but it was somebody believed that bullshit enough, just like advertising, and wrote it down.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I just wonder if like if he had survived and like got taken to like the war trials, if he was like, wait, guys, I never read it. Like I never even like gave it a glance. Like these guys were just like writing down shit that I said. Like, I was, I don't know, like.
Well, he was on methamphetamines. He was like, yeah. Well, that's what I said.
I was drinking, mm-hmm. I was drinking prison hooch. Like, I don't fucking know. Like, drinking out of my toilet.
That was one of those Four Loko nights. I don't remember that one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Hitler only served 9 months in prison, but that's when he kind of like the end of the beer hall push ended up in jail, but that's how Mein Kampf got created. Hmm. And then I'm going to end my segment here. Mine's going to be kind of short, guys. I'm sorry. Okay. But I'm going to end it with a famous post-war poem by the German Lutheran pastor Martin Niemöller. And the poem is called First They Came. And I think this is going to be a really good way for us to think about this podcast, okay?
Okay.
They came first for the communists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I was a Protestant. And then they came for me, and by that time, no one was left to speak up.
Damn.
Hmm. I feel like I've heard that before, but like I didn't really get the gravity of it.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good segue into the middle course, which I'm about to serve up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how's that for a fucking appetizer, boys?
Yeah, I'm ready for my rancid steak now. Like
yeah.
Hey. All right, well, I really already don't like this guy. So I feel like I'm just gonna be more upset in the next 20 minutes. So
thanks for teeing that up, Siege. That was a good intro.
Yes.
You're welcome, guys. Of course. Yeah. Anything for you. Anything for you two fellas.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and then we will be right back with worse things.
Yay.
Yay. Hey, guys. This is Cody and CJ from Justice Time Machine. Just doing another shout out for our buddy Eli, who did our logo for the podcast. If you guys like what you saw with our logo and are looking for any kind of graphic design or logo work, he's really a reliable source to go to. It's ELIS_trashcan on Instagram. Really cool guy, really quick with his work and very talented. And you know, he'll work within your budget. He's very understanding and reasonable. So yeah, reach out to him if you guys need any work done. It's definitely worth it, and have a good one.
Welcome back. Everybody take in a nice deep breath in through the nose, exhaling out the mouth. Because round two is going to knock you sideways.
Buckle up, bitches.
I didn't finish my breath.
Oh, well, it's too late because Himmler already stole it.
Himmler took your breath away.
In the worst possible way.
Another really poignant joke, Cody.
Oh, God damn it.
Cody.
Sorry. I'm not actually listening to myself. I'm just saying things I think are funny and then forgetting what set, like what year we're in.
What year is it? Like in Jumanji?
Yeah. 1940? Fuck.
Well, actually... we're going to take the time machine back to 1933 to start with.
Oh, okay.
So, rough year. Just pulling on my collar. Well, look, so Hitler gained power in January 1933, which is a little bit of a, we're taking a bit of a jump in time, but not too long a period of time, because we kind of already touched on the fact that it was kind of like the Munich beer hall putsch, which failed. And then the next thing you know, the Nazis are officially in power, right? Mm. They came back like Terminator 2, much, much better.
much more oiled and greased for battle.
Much more commercially successful. And yeah. Him, as a result.
Wait, would it be Albie Bach?
I'll be back. Yes, it would. That Himmler became head of the Munich police in 1933, and not long after that became commander of all German police units outside Prussia. And Prussia is a historically prominent German state. For anyone that was unfamiliar, as I was. So in doing so, he established the Third Reich's first concentration camp at Dachau, which I will actually circle back to. I'm going to go off on a bit of a different tangent first. But in April 1934, he was appointed assistant chief of the Gestapo in Prussia. And then from that point onwards, basically extended his control over the police forces of the whole Reich. So he's very good, and he did this within the Nazi party from an early point, but he's very good at moving up the ranks. He's very good at kissing ass, sucking dicks, just like whatever it takes. And yeah, so it kind of becomes a bit of a peak, shall we say, on June 30th, 1934, when Himmler engineered a purge in which the SS eliminated the SA. So I will, I'm glad you asked, Cody.
Okay. So this, is that like a Hispanic gangster?
Close, really close, AJ. Like, honestly, one of the closest guesses you've ever made.
Just making sure.
So I'm sure you probably heard of the Night of the Long Knives.
No, I've heard of Kristallnacht.
Oh, okay. So the Night of the Long Knives, which is a phrase that refers to acts of vengeance in the German language, but it was also called Operation Hummingbird within the Nazi party at the time to make it, you know, cute and palatable. So the scariest thing about this event was the fact that the Nazi party went full autoimmune disease and just attacked itself. Which is like one of the scarier things to do when you're already a very evil party to begin with.
Yeah.
All right. So Ernst Röhm, that CJ mentioned previously, he was actually at this point in time the chief of staff for the SA. And colloquially, they were known as the Brown Shirts. So you might have seen like old footage of like early Nazi party, all of the people wearing brown shirts with like the Nazi armband. That's kind of like what the SA were. And Ernst Röhm was one of Hitler's longest and staunchest supporters, and he was actually killed during this event, along with other prominent military and political leaders, some of which belong to a leftist leaning faction of the Nazi party. And this bit like kind of always blows my mind, because we have to remember that the Nazi party was genuinely at the beginning, I suppose, like an actual political movement. Like we always think of it just as like Nazis straight from hell. Like they,
well, I mean, that's all they deserve. They don't deserve any other credit. Like,
very true.
It almost reminds me of like, there's these stories of KKK members killing each other because they had arguments over who hated minorities more.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because they're all...
And it's like my favorite story.
You're like, gather around, children. Let Uncle CJ.
Aside from like the brown shirts, didn't we talk about brown shirts before? Or was it like Mussolini had black shirts? Or
yes, the OVRA.
Yeah,
were black shirts.
They were Mussolini had black shirts, but I think that Cody, that there was red shirts in the Nazi party. I think that's what you're referring to.
Well, he just said, well, Mark just said brown shirts. I was like,
oh, why? I thought they were red shirts.
No, they were brown. So the SA, brown, I mean, there might have been red. So the SA, which leads us nicely onto this, but like they were formed in 1921. And initially most of the members were ex-soldiers or unemployed men. So like kind of people that were down and out, shall we say. They were violent. Brown. Brown's a terrible color.
They weren't shirts, they were potato sacks.
Right. But they were violent, they were very disorderly, they were given essentially free rein with the primary duty of protecting leading Nazis. So the SS started out as a subdivision of the SA. So when Himmler took over in 1929, he grew the membership of the SS dramatically, like literally to from less than 100 to tens of thousands.
Jeez.
So then in 1933, Hitler becomes the Chancellor of Germany. He no longer wants to be kind of associated with a pack of wild dogs that are savage and unpredictable in nature. So, and he also perceived them as a threat to his newly gained political power. So
Himmler's like the, Himmler's like the most efficient Girl Scout, like getting like fucking magazine subscriptions. He's like, you guys want to buy this magazine? Like, let me tell you a tale, like,
right,
about my best friend Hitler.
He's selling cookies outside weed dispensaries.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, so Ernst Röhm had a desire to merge the SA and the German military under his leadership. That was like kind of what he wanted to achieve, with the ultimate agenda of a second revolution. Basically, what? To cut long story short, Himmler and Goering step up and basically say, leave it with us, boss. Like, Night of the Long Knives happens, 150 people are killed, hundreds more arrested, and then both of those numbers kind of fluctuate depending on the source, just as an FYI. But Himmler spends the next couple of years growing the SS and acquiring additional powers. He becomes the Reichsfuhrer and the chief of German police. That's essentially kind of what we need to know.
Okay.
After Germany's successful invasion of Poland in 1939, Hitler appointed Himmler as the Reich Commissar for the strengthening of the German ethnic stock, which sounds like the grossest meat manufacturing plant I've ever heard of, and a supplement that I never want to take.
Everything about that, like, fucking sentence of a title you just gave him, with it's just it's so gross.
This guy's had more title, like his resume would be on like parchment paper, like it would be pages long just from the titles alone.
I hate enough when fucking some kid comes into my store who I can tell is a child and gives me a 2-page resume, and I'm like, what experience do you fucking have? And this fucking little dick tip has like fucking like 10 pages just titles. Like,
I know we're all having a good time here, but I'm looking at pictures online right now of like Himmler visiting concentration camps, and for a man to not have any like any constitution and any fucking backbone to visit these camps and just stare at these people dying in front of them and walk by and say like, yes, this is right. This is what is supposed to happen.
Yeah, look how efficient my plan is. Like,
well, CJ, you've made the perfect segue, I guess, to what I was about to say, which is
okay.
So this position, the Reich Commissar position, it must have given him such an inflated sense of power, because it basically authorized Himmler, one shit-eating man that had an immense amount of power over the fact as to he would essentially decide and deem who was German. He could decide you're German and you're not. He would decide where ethnic Germans should live, and he would also decide ultimately which populations should be moved out or destroyed to make room for resettled Germans.
Jesus. So that is way too much authority to one person.
For one person. Yeah, it's hard to wrap your head around. So to aid him with this, he enlisted the help of the Einsatzgruppen, which is a really fun word with a horrible connotation. They were known as the SS's mobile killing units.
Oh,
like, and just mobile killing units are three words you never want to hear put together, right?
No, death should never be mobile.
It shouldn't be something that follows you around.
Yeah.
So the Einsatzgruppen were tasked with initiating and partake in mass murder, and they would literally follow army groups to secure territory after a battle.
Okay. Wait, so after a battle, they run in and like put up a perimeter or something, or like how do they secure territory?
I think they would basically secure it in the sense that they would then say, okay, this land is now going to be used for ethnic Germans to live in.
Okay. So you know, classic, I put my flag here.
It's a game of capture the flag.
Yeah.
So going back to Dachau, and this is the kind of final part of my segment, but Himmler's role in the implementation of concentration camps. And initially, concentration camps were made for the purpose of housing political prisoners. Okay. The first prisoners of Dachau consisted of communists, social democrats, and other political opponents to the Nazi regime. That's where it started. Hitler was
great,
so
fine.
Impressed.
That's war shit. Okay, cool.
Right. Hitler was so impressed with Dachau, like he was just like jerking off over it constantly, just couldn't get enough of it.
I love how you made the motion that he had two dicks. And he just
yeah, like... well, like one for him, one for Himmler.
Gross.
So he authorized Himmler, again, giving Himmler like even more power to establish an entire system of concentration camps. And this is where it all sort of stems from.
Yeah.
This is where the nightmare continues and somehow gets darker and bleaker and more depressing. So what I decided to do, I couldn't bring myself to kind of go into the detail in some respects.
Because I think camps?
Yeah, I think globally, the atrocities committed at places like Treblinka and Dachau and of course Auschwitz, you know, it's been widely covered in the decades that followed. But it doesn't matter how much we sit here and talk about it, read about it, whatever, it will never, in my opinion, or to me at least, it will never be comprehensible.
I totally agree. And it's a good point that you said, because there really isn't a point in going through the details of it, because one, like you said, it's been covered so much about what went down to these places. Even to the point where, we have an episode on the backlog where CJ and I went and visited the Museum of Tolerance and talk about the walkthrough of like the gas chambers that they have there and the diagrams of what they have of the camps, and like even we've covered a part of it, and it's never gonna do it justice, and it's never gonna give anyone the real scope of like how this happened. Like,
right.
It's never gonna make sense. Like
the horror.
I think we still need to give him justice though. Like if you're looking at this, like it's Himmler's idea behind the gas chambers. Like let's have some accountability here. Like the fact that
100%.
He came up with the gas chambers because he was offended by a firing squad.
Yeah.
And that was, they built mass graves previous to this and dispatched of tens of thousands of people.
He was too childish and fucking like, he couldn't fucking like back up his own shit. He created gas chambers because he couldn't stomach a firing squad. Yeah. Like, listen, like, I know we don't have any right, you know, putting this in a worldwide perspective or something like from a reasonable perspective, but like for fuck's sake, like let's at least give it to this guy while we have the chance.
No, totally.
100%. And I was gonna say, like the horror and the inhumane acts against Jewish people, homosexuals, political prisoners, and others that took place in these slaughterhouses under Himmler, the architect of death and destruction. You know, the Nazis killed almost 2.7 million people by these means, right? And that is, and I'm going to end on this note, but that is the equivalent of us waking up tomorrow and Chicago doesn't have a living soul inside its city. Jeez. That's 2.7 million people. Chicago's just gone.
He's gone.
Fuck this guy forever.
Yeah. I think...
Get angry, like honestly, let's get angry for a second. I know we've been very calm throughout this, and like you know, we're catching our emotions before they fly out. But fucking get angry at this. This is bullshit, dude.
I think that was a really really good comparison to like with the Chicago thing, because I mean, you know, I think one that really helps put it in perspective, just to imagine Chicago just blipping out, like. Yeah. Is just, it is crazy. And I think also, yeah, everyone, I just think like on a global scale, for the average person who doesn't know really much about history, not even to the extent that like we do, because we enjoy history, the average person doesn't really know shit. They just hear the name Hitler and think, oh, the guy who did all the bad things in World War II with the mustache. Like, they don't, that's all they know. Like, I literally had to explain to a coworker once, like, what the Holocaust was, because she didn't know. And like, I think everyone, people learn from our podcast, like, understand that it wasn't Hitler who did this part. It was this piece of shit who thought a firing squad was yucky, didn't want to look at it, and basically was like, can you guys do this bigger and cleaner?
Yeah, it was
like,
it was fucking sadistic
he was.
He was automating the process. He was turning it into like the equivalent of Henry Ford figuring out how to make cars on a mass scale.
Yeah.
He was doing that with like exterminating lives. And that's why
human fucking lives. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why, like, I don't know, for all of the history I've studied, you know, you like I said, it's incomprehensible, and I can't wrap my head around it, because it's too large. But like, when I read that, I was like, 2.7 million people. And there was a train of thought that just made me think, okay, what is the equivalent of that, you know, that I can sort of understand? How can I put that in context? And when I read that literally the population of Chicago is 2.7 million people, I was like, that makes it feel so much more real in some respects.
That's huge. Yeah. And I remember in earlier episodes, that was something that CJ liked to do a lot, was like put like numbers and scales of like town, like cities. And he's like, that one's gone. And that one's gone. Like, because it does.
Oh, yeah. That's season two, baby.
Yeah. Like, it makes it so much more, it impacts you so much harder. Like when you say like that entire city doesn't exist anymore, that's how many people that was.
Right. Yeah.
Like it's one thing that when you hear it that way, then you hear 2.7 million out of an entire country. Like, it doesn't, you know, you don't get the scale. Like,
yeah, because to your point, like, Hitler was obviously the head of the Nazi party and, you know, orchestrated so much.
Yeah.
But, you know, Himmler was running to him with a blueprint and saying, like, hey, boss, I've got like a great idea.
Yeah. Look at these and efficiency numbers. Like,
you know, whether it's Himmler.
I'm going to wipe my ass with that fucking blueprint and then blow your fucking brains out, guy.
I think I brought up this before. Like, I definitely on the Napoleon episode, and I think even in past episodes, but like, Hitler is usually regarded as one of the comings of an Antichrist. And if that's true, if he was, then Himmler was a demon.
It was just a perfect shitstorm of like literally the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Like if you take everyone, like Goering included, you know, the people that Hitler surrounded himself with, you know, it was a perfect shitstorm of evil assholes that were able to get together at the right time and place for them, and like the absolute worst time and place for everybody else. It's I don't know.
The rendition of him in Inglourious Basterds, I think, does a really good job of making him look like the perfect fucking like slime piece of shit.
Yes.
Like, not the total justice, but it does it's a good take on making it, like, that guy sucks. Like,
well, I know you guys have said for a long time that there'll never be like a Hitler episode, right? Whereas
I don't know. Like, we haven't really, we've discussed it, but we haven't really like discussed it fully. Like, and there might be, but we just don't want to do it right now.
I feel like this gets pretty dang close. And I'm okay with it being Himmler, because he's the one who planned it all.
Well, here's why we don't want to get close. It's because like I feel like the closer we get, the more I'm like telling his tale, and I feel guilty about like giving any credence to this piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, everything that I want to do is to pull it back from the situation, but like telling his story feels like really antithetical.
Yeah. Well, how about this? Because it sounds like we're concluding, but we're not. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back to my segment, and I'm just going to spend the next 20 minutes just making this guy look like a fucking idiot again.
I love it so much.
Okay, so let's do that. And you guys, I think we'll feel a little better. Okay. We'll okay. be right back.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Justice Time Machine. We appreciate it very much so. I want to take this opportunity to also appreciate another person. I hope that line of logic followed. His name is Johnny Niddle, and he is the person responsible for doing all of our music. He did our theme song, he does all the transitions, and we couldn't be happier with his work. We think it's like absolutely wonderful. It's one of the greatest things that's happened to our podcast since it started. It's actually sounding much more professional and just all around better. So you should absolutely give him your business. Go to johnnyrk.com. That's Johnny RK, JohnnyRK.com. Or you can find him on all social media at Johnny RK. Go to Johnny Niddle, give him your money. He deserves every penny. Thank you, Johnny, and we'll see you next time.
Fuck. Okay. How I feel after that middle part.
I'm gonna close my browser.
Oh, good. Yeah, stop. Literally, like, I feel like you're like the fucking what's this fuck from Clockwork Orange right now. You had your eyes like peeled open. You're like, oh my god, all the bodies, and it's like, no one's right. making you do that. Like,
put the parental controls on, CJ. Yeah.
I'm in the moment. I'm listening to you. My browser is closed.
Good. Okay, so let's wrap it up on this piece of shit. Okay, so I literally my section just kind of like okay, so after everything you said, Mark, about like his tenacity and his perfect planning skills and his rise to the ranks, his downfall really makes him sound like the biggest idiot. Like it sounds like the proper ending to the fucking dweeb that CJ shut up. Like set up. Like
no, I shut him up pretty good.
Yeah, you shut him up. Yeah. But like if Mark hadn't done the middle and it was just like CJ describing this guy, this is exactly how I pictured him ending. Like it's perfect. But that common perception I think that everyone has of Himmler, during that time in the Reich, to the outside world, like this was like very common perception of him. He was a Hitler fanatic with like absolute devotion to the Nazi Party, peppered in with a light obsession with the occult and philosophy and mysticism. He was the Nazi from Indiana Jones. Like, it's 100% what he was. Like, he was all for like using his fanaticism to like expedite racism, but like when he went home, he like put a black hood on and was like, "I do spells." Like
Cody, he was a dark Jedi.
He was a dark. I know. I think he was a shitty Sith.
Like, a shitty Sith.
Yeah. Okay. So before I go any further, I kind of wanted to like talk about like his obsession with like the mystic arts. So I just bullet pointed this a little bit. But obviously he had a major obsession with Aryan and Nordic supremacy. Duh. That kind of goes without saying. But that was his main motive for all of his like racism. It was only because he thought just like Nordic people were superior. And in the SS, he used that to promote like ancestral worship, like crazy. Like he was obsessed with people's like bloodlines and like who they came from, and like pushed SS members to also like think that like, oh, you're a descendant of Constantine. Like you're the greatest. Like, and just fucking like filled everyone's head with this bullshit.
Like, do German people even, like, are they good at the Olympics? Like, are German people, like, do they?
No.
Yeah, they're pretty, they are kind of athletic. Like, at least the soccer team is unreal.
Yeah, their soccer team's pretty on point. Like,
okay. But, like, if we're talking about anything else, like, we're talking about, like, shot put or...
I think they do well at the weightlifting, javelin, shot put. Like, they're pretty good at those sports.
They're usually pretty good at, like, all the strongest man competition things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but doesn't, like, every rugby team crush the fuck out of them?
Oh, yeah, they don't have a rugby team.
Yeah. Or no, they do have a rugby team. But
they may not be good at rugby, no, but I mean they're good at soccer. Football.
I think they're good at rowing and cycling is another team rowing cycling sports.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So very, very unconfrontational sports.
Yeah, they have weak constitutions. I'm saying.
they get tummy aches.
Yeah. No, sorry, not the German people, just people like Himmler. I'm sure they have good teams. So where was I? Okay. Oh, so he also he associated the SS heavily with the an order of the Teutonic Knights, which are kind of like the German version of the Knights Templar. Okay. So he even went as far as taking over a Teutonic church and using it as this grand SS cathedral, where he would preach his own interpretations of what Christianity should be. Like he tried constantly altering the moral codes of Christianity to the SS way. Basically taking sacred Christian practices and renaming them. He made alterations to funeral proceedings and marriages and baptisms. For example, baptisms were now naming ceremonies. They all got very culty and organized, and it was just a way of furthering his own fucking little dream.
Right.
And SS, that stands for Special Strudel?
Yes, Special Strudel, yes.
Okay, cool. I thought it was superior shit, but I...
I think it goes back, I think it can even be translated as Super Spaghetti.
Super Spaghetti.
Yeah, Super Spaghetti.
Well, that everybody knows that's what strudel's called, is Super Spaghetti.
Super Spaghetti, right. So actually, that's actually really funny that you brought that up, because the SS symbol, the lightning bolts, which we also see it as being lightning bolts, to Himmler, they're actually runes to symbolize strength, and they're from a very specific set of runes that one of his culty buddies produced randomly. I don't know. It sounded they're Armanin runes is what they're called.
It sounds like a fucking horror crux.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, dude, you're nailing. Your segue skills today are impeccable. So, so speaking of Horcruxes, they also had super super cool Dakota rings, called Death Head rings that every SS member was given, and they had like symbols all over them. But if you died, you had to give it back to Himmler. So yeah, you
well, how would you do that? If
you had to figure it out.
Okay.
Post-death.
One way or another, that ring had to go back to Himmler. Yes. Your body only got shipped back home if you had the ring on it. So, and then he showed up at your funeral or whatever he wanted to call it and took it. So he also spent a vast majority of his time and the SS's time searching for whatever ancient runes or cities or any proof of German superiority. He was literally chasing Indiana Jones around, trying to find whatever he fucking thought was mystical and cool.
He's named after a dog.
Yeah, this guy was. That's what I'm just like, dude. The Indiana Jones reference is, I think that's what Spielberg and Lucas wanted. This guy is the Indiana Jones villain.
Got it.
He was literally running around. I was we're gonna find the Ark of the Covenant, and then yeah. And then he gets his eyes melted out of his fucking head. That would have been cool.
Hell yeah.
So that was his weird obsession with all of that. Which, for the most part, Hitler thought was bullshit. Hitler, especially towards the end, was this guy is such a waste of my time and my resources and my energy. Him and Hitler were not as close as people usually think, especially at the end of the war.
Even after one letter apart?
Yes, yeah. Even after very similar names, they weren't friends. And Hitler just did not believe in any of the things that Himmler did at all. So by the end of the war, by 1945, that sentiment kind of was throughout the Reich and throughout Hitler's inner circle to the point where Himmler was mainly like ostracized and pushed out of the inner ranks, to the point where like when it came to like what was going to happen at the end of the war, like what like Hitler and his cabinet were going to do in case of like whatever like went down, Himmler wasn't even included. Like he was on his own, even though being like the orchestrator of all this shit, like he had no support. So let's see, where am I? Okay. So by the time everything is going to shit, he basically realizes like it's not going very well, and he's like, I gotta do something about this. So the obvious thing would be like, I don't know, plan like how to get away or whatever. His plan is to like sell out Hitler and everyone. It became pretty well known that he had like plans to he wanted to secede Hitler. Like he thought that there was any way out for the Nazis. Like even
secede as Germany or the Nazi Party.
He wanted to secede. He wanted to become the Führer.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
So you wanted to take over.
Yeah. Sorry. Succeed, not secede. Sorry.
Yeah.
So he basically went around trying to propose treaties with the Allied forces, in like and Switzerland and like all them, like basically trying to give them deals and like sell out the Reich and so he could take over. Which I think is funny because I just imagine like all of like these talks going on and the Allied forces are just like, we don't need fucking anything from you. Like, you're all going to die.
He's a goddamn snake. He's a snake in the grass, dude. He's like a fucking bed of vipers.
But he's like a dumb snake. He's like a viper running around with his fangs gone. Like
a like, slow viper.
What's yeah, he's a slug in the grass.
Slug in the grass.
And I feel like he's trying to offer all this shit, and the Allied forces are like, you're all gonna die. Like, we don't need you. Like, Nazis are dying. Like, that's our plan. Like, so he just wasn't getting it. He's just like, I could totally get out of this ahead, and the Reich will still be around, and I'll be the leader. Like, that's literally what he thought the end of this war was gonna be. At a certain point, the penny finally drops and he realizes that he's going to have to make a run for it. But fuckhead hasn't planned for that. And he has nothing set up like at all about how to get away, where to go, what to do. He has no contingency plan, which is super funny, I think, for someone who is so methodically like planning all this shit. And so like on top of it, he had no fucking backup plan.
Well, I mean, the only reason he got in so far was how good he was at organizing. So it's weird for him to kind of like bail on that at the end and just have zero exit strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think he clearly sensed that the end was nigh, right? But maybe there was a sense to Himmler all along that he thought he was like clearly smarter than Hitler, or, you know, had like a... he like could one up him in some kind of way.
What's the opposite of nigh, like when it's already happened? Like, because he was trying to negotiate when the end was nigh. He was trying to make a deal. When the end happened, he was like, fuck.
Yeah.
And it was like the end was already behind him. The one I think he's also like, okay, so I've always had this really hard time rationalizing the Nazis in my mind as like,
oh, thank God.
Yeah. Not in that sense, but like, surprise.
I've always struggled with this. Full disclosure, I'm on this podcast because I struggle.
Thank God, Cody.
My point was like, was their mental state of, right, how could they not have known that there was no way this was going to end well, that the entire globe wouldn't just fuck them up?
Right.
And like, they thought they were like, how could they have honestly thought they were going to get away with this? And then I read this guy's fucking Wikipedia page and it was like, Jesus, like, fuck. Like, how do you not get it? Like,
well, I read, I can't remember if this was doing research for this podcast or just previous stuff, but like I'm pretty certain he tried to use the prisoners at the camps as like a bargaining chip to negotiate with the allies, which checks out given this guy's track record.
Yeah.
And even the allies basically, you know, couldn't consider negotiating with someone who was so implicated in you know, war crimes as a Nazi that they were like, we can't negotiate with this guy.
Yeah. Like we're just going to kill you. Like,
yeah. Like we're already on top.
Yeah. It's like, we're literally like, yeah. Like he's standing in front of Auschwitz and the Allied forces on the other side and he's trying to negotiate. And they're like, we don't need to, we're here. like we just need you to like fucking stop talking.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, yes. And I just, I have a hard time rationalizing Nazis. Cody,
how do you finish this guy off? Like, where do we end on this, this piece of garbage?
Oh, well, let's see where we are. Oh, okay. So when it comes time for him to like make his escape, the only kind of like exit strategy he has is he has a forged paybook. Not a passport, a paybook. So like his checkbook that has a different name on it.
Okay. Yeah.
I had to look up what a paybook was. So I was like, what the fuck is a paybook?
Yeah, no fucking clue. Yeah, that makes sense.
So anyone, you guys want to take a guess on like what his fake name was?
Oh yeah, fuck yeah. Mark, you want to go first?
I actually have a leg up on this because I think I might know.
Oh no.
So okay. I don't want to, I know, so I know, actually no, CJ, you guess first because it'll be funnier.
I think it would be, okay, I think the first name's Henry for sure.
Okay.
Okay, so my first guess is Henry instead of Heinrich.
Okay.
And his last name would be, instead of Himmler, maybe Hurler?
Okay, so just like kind of altering it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, Henry Hurler. Right. Like it was a Henry that threw a lot.
Okay.
Henry Hurler. I'm pretty certain I know that he just didn't change his first name.
Yeah, so his paybook is Heinrich Hitzinger. He only changed his last name and he gave himself the rank of sergeant.
Like, wait, did you say Kissinger? Like Henry Kissinger?
No, Hitzinger.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, his paybook was named Sergeant Heinrich Hitzinger. Because apparently, cool. If someone said a different name, he wouldn't have answered or something.
Yeah, maybe.
It's like in The Simpsons when Homer is in the witness protection program. And he's like, when I say your name and step on your foot, you respond to me. And he said, like, says his name and Homer's like, who are you talking to?
Exactly.
The best case scenario is he got some secondhand gas and was just stupid from then on.
Yeah, probably. So this guy decides to make his escape with the same first name, which like would just make people recognize him faster. So yeah, like people would instantly be like, you kind of look at that Heinrich guy, and then you look at people like, Heinrich, okay, I get it.
What inept guard would be like, Heinrich, perfect, that matches. Oh, but the last name, yeah, sorry,
no, way off, no. Way off. There's a Z in here.
Continue your nefarious ways, my sir.
Yeah, sergeant. So he goes on the run with his like little posse, and eventually he gets stopped at a checkpoint at Bremervorda, or that's how I'm going to say it, by Soviets, who, funny enough, were actually former POWs who like got out, set up his own checkpoint, and then captured him, which I think is pretty good. So he gets captured. No one really recognizes him at first, but he does get so he gets passed around a bit. And then eventually gets taken to Lunenburg and is interrogated, or like outside Lunenburg is interrogated. And it's there that a British officer looks at his like exit paper or his travel papers and realizes that like the travel stamp is one that he's seen before by Nazis trying to leave the country. So it's like a fake travel stamp that Nazis have been using. And that's what pretty much finds him out. And they pretty much realize who he is, which I'm like, how do you guys not know who the fuck he is? Like, They have photographs. Like,
again, it just goes to show how much a database changed and revolutionized the world.
Yeah.
Because they were probably flipping through like a Rolodex.
Yeah. They're like, who's got the fucking Nazi pictures? Like,
who's got HH? I'm missing HH in my Rolodex.
Yeah. If only we had a DMV.
Yeah. My Rolodex has like 17 Heinrichs. Like, what the fuck?
They're all named Heinrich.
And they all drive Volkswagens. Yeah. What is...
Actually, a fun story. Mercedes was also... So Mercedes was more used by German forces, but Volkswagen was appropriated by Allied forces.
Interesting.
That is very interesting. So there the Nazi mobile was Mercedes, but then even though Volkswagen means for the people, it's like Volkswagen, it's like a car for the people.
No, they couldn't have that. So
yeah, so but Volkswagen was appropriated by Allied forces instead of Mercedes, and Mercedes was like the German Nazi mobile.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Just like what's that brand? Hugo Boss made the forms for the Nazi.
I
think also around this time, I mean, towards the end of the war or shortly after the war, the founders of Adidas and Puma were born in Germany. They were brothers and then split and formed Puma and Adidas.
Ooh. Yeah. Cody, nice, bud.
Yeah. they were... brothers who started a shoe company, and then one of them got mad at the other one and split, and like that's what created Puma.
And we all know Adidas stands for All Day I Dream About Sex, of course.
Yeah, of course, of course.
No.
No.
It stands for After Dinner I Did a Shit. What are you talking about? And then if you go backwards, it's So After Dessert I Did Another.
Oh my God. Jesus.
CJ, we lost you for a second.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay.
I had to take a little break after Mark's fucking history lesson
on acronyms. Anyway, okay, so yeah, that's how he gets caught, because of his fucking same first name and his fucking dumb stamp. So then he gets taken into Lüneburg. Which is at the time now the headquarters for the British Second Army in Germany. And they take him in, they process him, they start to do, like, they have a doctor do like a physical exam on him. And as the doctor tries to check out his mouth, Himmler starts to refuse and like struggle. And it's because he has a cyanide pill in his mouth. And that's when he bites down on it and it collapses to the floor. And dies within 15 minutes. Like, he thinks he's like, you know, like a fucking, the classic bitch spy move, and then kills himself rather than go through with any kind of fucking accountability for what he fucking did. He just drops it on the floor.
He's a fucking coward through and through, dude.
Yeah. And he drops it on the floor right there in the middle of the fucking doctor's office.
And so the mysticism piece was kind of was like new information for me, and I think as a history major in the English education system, like, all you basically learn about, it's like kings and queens, World War II. You graduate just based on those two things.
Can we take it back for a second? I'm sorry, Mark, you're a history major?
Yeah. It's professor.
Like, the equivalent of in the US is what I graduated with in the UK.
Well, go fuck yourself, but still, you're right.
Well, like, I don't know what it's the equivalent of, based on the level.
The history major out here in the US is the equivalent of somebody that works at Walgreens. So, so yeah, you might be right.
So I should go and invade Harvard tomorrow?
Yes, yes. And have them start calling you headmaster.
No, I was gonna, but like, the mysticism piece was new information for me, but it makes so much sense because, you know, we referenced Indiana Jones pretty hard, but like, Hellboy and Captain America with the Red Skull. Like,
yes,
there's so many pop culture references in movies.
I didn't even think about those. Yeah.
graphic novels and stuff, and like where the Nazis are obsessed with trying to use like the dark arts or the mystic arts to further expand their control. And I didn't realize that it actually came from a genuine place.
No, I think that's a fucking huge one. I didn't even think about Hellboy and Marvel. Like, yeah, apparently we're just late to the show that everyone fucking knows Himmler's fucking weird obsession. And is using it like
a lot of the movies are also scared to use like Hitler himself, and they also use like this fucking like byproduct general, this like evil Nazi general.
Yeah,
right. Isn't Hitler, but like some sort of like stand-in for Hitler.
Yeah, or a stand-in for Himmler, like the one who's actually like doing the dirty work.
Or is that their interpretation of what like Himmler would be? Like,
yeah,
some dude behind the scenes like making the actual calls.
Yeah.
And Hitler high on methamphetamine saying like, yes, yes, this all sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine like based on what Cody said, that it was more of a case of Hitler being like, yeah, 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 but show me more about the camps.
The camps.
Like he didn't really care so much for Himmler's
No, he didn't. Yeah. Like Himmler would walk and be like, dude, I found this box and it says that Germans were fantastic and like we could use this. And Hitler's just like, yeah, but like how many died?
Right.
So
where are we going to build the next camp?
Yeah, where is the other one going? So CJ's getting mad at us for laughing.
I know. I feel like CJ really didn't appreciate my German accent, but whatever.
I did.
No, I don't have a problem with the accent. I have a problem with the structure, you piece of shit. But
hey, we acknowledge that we hate. Your grammar sucks.
If he spoke German, just do it right.
Yeah, like it doesn't go out that way.
Yeah,
I'll give you
an example. Here, I'll give you. Okay.
So
this
go.
Is what German's supposed to sound like.
Now you're just being rude. There's a lot of good German people.
No, that's what it's supposed to sound like. Sorry.
Jesus. We're losing every woman on this episode and an entire country.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. CJ.
CJ.
Don't be mean. We need you.
I can change.
We also lost all of the history majors that work at Walmart.
Or Walgreens or whatever.
Or Walgreens.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I honestly thought you were going to say Walmart and I was going to be like, yes.
Actually, I take my Walgreens sentences back. I should have said Walmart.
Yeah. I mean, Walgreens is, I mean, I don't know. The Walgreens across the street from my old store was pretty fucking lame. So it could be either one.
Well, it's just like, I have to go to Walgreens because I have a Duane Reade subscription. And that's like a Northeast thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? It's weird. I feel like Walgreens is like a North County thing. We don't even have them down here. You're like one.
No.
Like,
yeah.
We'll just go to Target for our things.
No, you're a CVS, you stoked bitch.
I have not set foot in a CVS in like fucking 8 years.
You get a Mervin's Outpost.
Mervin's? What the fuck? Don't you dare insult my Smart and Final.
Rip the ice cream and you go to Mervin's.
Ah, dude. It's only Tillamook in this house.
Tillamook. It's a Tillamook house.
This is a Tillamook house. Do you have Tillamook in New York?
No.
Tillamook.
It's an organ. It's organ milk, basically.
It's an Oregon-based dairy company who makes the greatest cheese and ice cream.
Are you saying Oregon or Oregon?
Oregon.
Oregon.
Oregon. Yeah, the one above us.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's in Tillamook, Oregon, and they make the greatest ice cream and cheese.
Interesting.
Yes.
It's pronounced like you lost an oar on a canoe.
Oregon.
You know, brings us nicely to the end of this.
Yes, we're gone.
We're gone.
Yeah, we're done.
We're gone.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, no, that was good. That was good. That was a good, okay, well, good piece of shit.
Yeah. So let's okay, so justicetimemachine@gmail.com.
At Instagram. At
Justice Time Machine on the gram.
Yep.
At, you can listen Johnny to Ar- us on Johnny Spotify.
Yeah.
And Apple.
Yeah. Which, oh, also, Mark, we didn't include you in this conversation, but just so everyone knows, I didn't do a Instagram post on the last episode. Mm-hmm. Just because I felt a little weird, considering the topical nature of it, like with it being the civil rights movements and like the riots, and it is like right in the wake of like the trial outcome for George Floyd.
Yeah.
It just felt a little off, mm-hmm. to make a post about it,
publicize, like,
yeah, to like be like, look at us, like, not, I mean, not to like, you know, sound bigger than we are, like, we don't have like a huge crowd, but like, I just didn't right. want to take away from it in any sense.
Yeah, that's fair.
it just felt weird, like, so to anyone who's who does follow us on Instagram, that's kind of why I left it out. It just, you know, it was like, thank you for everyone who's listened to the episode, mm-hmm. but yeah, I didn't feel like it was, I loved the episode. It was great. I think we covered a lot of good stuff. I just didn't feel like it was right to promote it.
Yeah. The most important thing that happened last week was the outcome of the trial and the verdict that was given. So
yeah, I just wanted to let every little ray of sunshine go onto that.
Stay tuned for a message from our sponsors.
That we don't have.
Wait.
We don't have a sponsor.
The AB roller. It's going to roll your abs real good.
Okay. Yeah, everybody turn on QVC now. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, go listen to an infomercial. They're great. Okay, bye.